Hi, and welcome to this week's Three Legs, Four Wheels F1 podcast. It's Paul here with...
Dan.
Lee.
Christmas again this week. He's still stalking Mark Webber, and I don't think the restraining order's come through yet, so he's still in Perth for the time being. So what do we think to Sochi at the weekend?
It's good. Enjoyed it.
Better than last year?
Yeah. Interesting.
Better than Japan.
I rate last year's Sochi race with last week's Japan race, to be honest, and procession ball fest. But no, it was interesting. We had on-track drama, off-track drama.
More off-track drama.
More people going off-track. Kimi invoking the spirit of Maldonado.
Yeah.
And the championship. Wrapped up.
Yeah, by the stewards. Although it would have happened anyway, so you can't really complain about that. And Kimi was an absolute dick.
It's a shame though, isn't it? Because before he tried to fit a whole Formula One car in that 6 inches of space on the apex.
I've been saying earlier it was good to see him back being racy. Yeah.
That's the closest we've had to like a McLaren Kimi since his return to Formula One.
Yeah.
It was foot down and solid.
Yeah, it was ace.
But another dominant one for Lewis.
I think Nico should have won that race.
He could have won the race, but...
I think he would have done.
Do you think he'd have kept Lewis behind him?
I do, yeah.
I just can't see it. I think... Lewis would have found a way past. He'd have found a way to win the race. Whereas I don't think Nico's capable of defending from Lewis.
No, I think from... We only got to see 7 laps of Nico, wasn't it? But it looked to me like... And it had through qualifying as well. Like, he was just handling the circuit better than Lewis was.
Yeah. Yeah, I just don't... Over a race distance, I just think Lewis would have had him again, as he seems to be doing all the time.
I think it was ironic, though, that Nico probably wouldn't have had the mechanical problem that he'd had at the time if they'd have managed to get full practice sessions in.
Yeah.
Quite possibly, because they've been able to spend more time sort of looking at the setup of the car and whether it would have been glued together.
Chances are it would have happened.
It would have happened, but it would probably happen in FP3 rather than... Because, I mean, the first practice was an absolute farce.
Like I said to you, son, when we were talking to each other while the race was on, maybe that sticky throttle pedal would have helped him find those two tenths he's been looking for all year.
I think those 2 tenths are well and truly in his own head.
They're certainly not in his pocket.
But I mean, obviously we can't talk about this without mentioning Carlos Sainz.
I was really worried about him. I thought he'd have gone and done a boom.
It was scary. I actually felt sick when they showed it. I suppose it says a lot about the safety of the cars.
Yeah. And the circuits.
And the circuits.
People do complain about the Herman Tilke circuits, but the runoff areas do mean there's a lot more scope for safety.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is with the Sochi, though, they hasn't really got those runoff areas, has it, that some of the Herman Tilke circuits have got?
But at least it had one on that corner.
But that's one good thing I was going to say about it, even the fact it is one of these like mega safe new circuits. At least when people go off, they are getting punished for it. You don't want to punish through injury, but I'm sick of seeing drivers running off circuit and then coming back on. You know, it's run off circuit, lose a wheel.
Although in the GP2 race, somebody managed to go off and belt the wall in a completely weird way and then wiped another 3 cars out.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
That's GP3 though, isn't it?
GP2.
GP2 though, isn't it?
Oh, there's some decent GP2 drivers. And Johnny Cicotta. Yeah, who unannounced his retirement this weekend, which is why he ended up crashing and causing a safety car at the end of the race, so it was neutralised with 2 laps left. Good move. I am putting my thumb up, you can't see this.
By the sound of that, then, he's merely one financial backer away from a seat in Formula One.
hey, that's a point. There's a seat going spare in Lotus, isn't there?
Oh, jeez.
And he wiped out on exactly the same corner as Grosjean. I will leave you with that thought.
But going back to Carl Sainz,
I can do just as well as your other driver.
Look, here's my rear wing. Yeah, why is it at the front of somebody else's car?
Going back to Carlos Sainz, so he had massive shunt in qualifying. Started from the back for the race, which I was amazed at. I didn't think anyone would let him race.
No.
Oh, you were a BBC Grand Prix, weren't you? During qualifying? Yeah, the end of qualifying. Martin Brundle was talking about whether he could race tomorrow because it came through in Q3 that he was in the hospital and he was okay.
Yeah.
And he was already saying that he wanted to race.
He was already sending selfies out.
Yeah. And he turned around and he said, it'll be health and safety gone mad if they don't allow him to race when he's been given the all clear. If this was MotoGP, they'd gaffer tape him to the bike and fill him full of painkillers.
that is true, but I think, was it 43G that he went through?
Yeah. It was 40 some.
I
think a few days of not going at 200 miles an hour.
40G in a pair of underpants. Yeah. That's what he went through.
I didn't expect him to be there, but he was, and from the back of the grid, got to 7th.
Yeah.
They've started calling him the Matador in the media now, which was his dad's nickname when he was in the World Rally Championship. And yeah, you can sit chip off the old block.
I've said it all. He's my favourite Toro Rosso driver. I really like him. I think it's a real shame that as good as Verstappen is, I think it's a shame that his rise to fame media wise has overshadowed what Carlos Sainz has done.
Toro Rosso have two very strong potential future world champions.
I think they've got the best two new drivers last 5 years.
Yeah. I'd go with that. Then again, what we got to compare against?
I'd argue Bottas might be in the argument there, but I don't think Bottas is as good as either of those. I don't think Bottas is as good as either of those now. So God knows what will happen in 2 years' time.
Just hope that Toro Rosso and Red Bull are actually still racing. But we will get to that later. Going back to Rosberg. You think he could have done it? You think?
No, I do.
We're split on this. I'm going to sit on the fence and say I'm not sure. I'm leaning towards I don't think he could have done it. Because Lewis was having a go right from the off, and Lewis would have done that again, and I think Rosberg would have pitted first, and Lewis would have found the extra speed when he wasn't behind Rosberg's car, and I think it would have changed.
You don't think Rosberg as the lead driver would have pitted first?
Well, yeah, Rosberg had pitted first, and then Lewis had put his foot down. Because.
And if he didn't do it in the first round of pit stops, he'd have done it in the second. He'd have won it. Well, was it two stops?
It was only one stopper.
It was only one stopper.
Yeah, it would have been his one chance to go for it. Because I think Lewis would have possibly been holding something back because there was no point pushing too hard. Because
tires.
Yeah.
Don't forget, he's the clever Lewis now, isn't he?
Yeah, catching's one thing, passing's another. But when he hasn't got that car in front of him and he's in clean air, then he can just stick his foot down, pull those extra couple of tenths out, do two laps of that.
I think if he had it in him, he would have done it on the first lap.
I don't know, he kind of ran out of room because the way the first few corners go, and we saw that with the number of offs in practice qualifying, other races, people running wide.
I think it's fair to say that he had a howler of a start as well compared to Nico.
Mm.
And I think that's where the gap that was created wasn't so much because Nico was going a lot quicker than him. I think it was down to the start that gap was there by the time the Beanrock got around the first couple of corners.
Lewis has suffered with the starts all season, more so since they brought the new start regulations in with the not allowed to do anything with the clutch after it leaves the pits. and Nico appeared to get it right this time, and Lewis did better than he's done of late, because he didn't get past, but still didn't have the best of starts, and he was playing catch up. It's one of the, we could talk about this for ages and never come to any conclusion.
I don't think you're going to change my mind. I think Nico would have robbed one, but we'll never know, will we?
We won't.
Speaking of starts, I did notice that the Manners had an absolutely cracking start. Off the line, they were just about overtaking the cars in front of them. And it was only when the lack of power started showing that they started going backwards.
Had they lined up on the grid, or did they sneak a quick run and start in by green?
Now, I've got the, somewhere in here, I should have the press release from Manor. If I go to the right mailbox. Will Stevens pretty much said the same. He was more than happy with the way that he started. And it was just a case of as soon as the power wasn't there, that's when they started to drop back.
Yeah.
And
unfortunately, that means that the Manners were only looking good for about 3 seconds of the race. But
it's 3 seconds more than they have done at other races.
I did pick up on it enough to think it was worth mentioning.
Yeah.
Have they still got last year's Ferrari engine in?
Yes.
Right. Yeah. The B-spec car never happened, never materialised, did it?
No, it was going to happen, then they put all their efforts into making next year's car.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
Which next year's car is now going to have the Mercedes engine in.
Yeah.
I'm going to stick my neck out and say I think they could be challenging for points 2 or 3 times next season with it.
I hope that, but I think I will be very surprised if they're any worse than if they're further off the back than I don't know how to explain this.
They could be hanging on to the back of a Sauber.
They could be hanging on the back of the Sauber, and I think that will be. I think that's really, really possible, and will be a great step forward for them.
Yeah, it would be good to have a full grid of cars that any of them could score a point.
Yeah,
I think the thing is as well is, if my theory is right with Haas, just given how in bed they are with Ferrari, that's going to be a point scoring car from Australia. I think, or capable of scoring points. From Australia.
I don't think Ferrari would want it otherwise, though. Ferrari want it to be a point-scoring car because it's Ferrari's R&D department.
Yeah.
Whether it will be or not, let's see what the chassis is like.
It's rare to see a team come along and do half as well as they think they're going to.
Yeah, but Braun was what was going to be that year's Honda, and the car was already made.
Yeah, I know.
And Braun didn't say, we're going to do really well. He said, I'm giving these people jobs for a year.
Let's really try and make a race.
Yeah, it was only the second pre-season test, because it was an interview with Jenson Button that I saw a couple of weeks ago. And him and Ross Braun were looking at the times that they put in compared to everyone else. They both looked at each other and went, we're good, aren't we? I think it took them by surprise. But
yeah, there was that quote, wasn't there, when Button went for his first run in that car. Kate came into the pits, and his engineer turned around and said, "How did that feel?" And he said, "It didn't feel too bad." He said, "We could do it just in the rear wing or a couple of things." He said, "Jensen, you're 5/10 faster than everybody else."
Yeah, I can't see Haas doing that. Conversely, I can't see Haas being BAR with a pointless first season.
So we don't think they're going to be half-assed?
Oh.
I warned you last week about this.
This is a preview of all of next year's podcasts where we will get at least one Haas pun in. And I apologise now. Anyway, back to Sochi.
Sorry, I don't mean to hassle you.
That was your pun alarm going off. You've exceeded your quota.
For the year.
Yeah, he's got his push to pun button. Sochi. Yeah.
Talking of teams who are right at the back, McLaren.
But they didn't finish right at the back.
No, they looked for a little while like they got two cars in the points.
Yeah, it was an improvement. Jensen was complaining that for the first couple of laps the car was scary to drive because, again, he was having the power harvesting problems.
Yeah.
But that is now an accepted fact by the team and the drivers, and it's not going to change this year. Alonso, with the new power unit, seemed to get something out of it for a time. Obviously, this is complete development for next season. Maybe now they've found what they're going to base next season's engine on, if they've got something that works. Because this is the longest pre-season test ever. A season. But and now they know what to do about the harvesting problem. They'll be able to change that from December onwards.
But can they? Because the problem with the harvesting problem is the turbo's too small, from what I was reading, because of this whole size zero back end that the McLaren's got. So if they're still going to go, is it Honda that have decided that the turbo they wanted it that small, you know, so they've got a nice compact engine, or is it McLaren giving Honda the specifications of the car, this is how much room you've got to work with?
I believe that between them, possibly McLaren said, we've got this aero design.
Yeah.
Can you do an engine that works with that? And they said, yep.
Well, we can make one that fits, but it's not going to be brilliant.
So, well, I don't think they said it's not going to be brilliant, but now they know that that's where the problem lies.
The thing is, though, if you've got the likes of Jensen Button and especially Jensen, because he was in the car last year, saying that the engine problems they've had with the engine have masked the steps forward they've made in aerodynamics, and he said, like, it's a much different McLaren to drive, and it's a much better McLaren than any other McLaren he's been given to drive as far as a like chassis goes. If they have to give them more space at the back end, is that going to disturb all the good work they've done aero-wise?
Quite possibly. I think it's a compromise that they will happily go for.
Well, it's a compromise they've got to make.
They can't stay as they are with the car in that shape if that's preventing the power from being put on the track. It's simple maths.
Yeah, so I'm sure between them they can... Between McLaren and Honda, they can either find a compromise that works or a radically new engine design that will allow them this size zero bit of the car at the cost of changing a different bit to be able to have a bigger turbo, better MGUH, heat gathering unit, which as I understand it is their biggest problem is the MGUH just doesn't harvest enough energy compared to the others.
And the thing is as well with your, they had big temperature problems as well, didn't they, at the beginning of the season?
Yeah, everything was running hot.
Yeah, and that lends itself to the idea of the back end is just too small for the engine. You know, it's just too tightly packed.
You know, you've got to look at the internal airflow as well as the external airflow when it comes down to that. I've learnt more about engineering since we started doing these podcasts than I'd learnt in 40 odd years beforehand. just as an aside, I've also learnt quite a lot about server repair. Anyone that was looking out for the live blog of the race this last weekend would have seen that there wasn't one and there wasn't a website. And I'd just like to now say thank you to all the guys at Southwest Broadband, Cloud Above, especially Ashley and Stephen in support, who worked like absolute stars getting the server back up last night, and service above and beyond, guys. So for all our listeners, if you're ever looking for web hosting, go to Southwest Broadband. You will not be disappointed. Advert over, plug over, but cheers guys, you were brilliant. Anyway,
Anyway,
you have the list.
Yes. Yeah, so we said that the McLarens were in the points for a little while, but there were a couple of penalties at the end of the race.
Yeah.
One was Fernando Alonso, who'd been cut in a corner repeatedly, got warned about it, and then got penalised. So ended up in 11th rather than 10th.
It's a quote of the race as well from Fernando Alonso.
Oh, yeah.
Which was?
I've forgotten.
We're racing master to the end, says his engineer.
I admire your sense of humour.
It was definitely a not as angry Alonso we saw this weekend. Although, seriously, mate, ditch the headband. you look like you're still on last night's night out.
Someone else who should be ditching the headband and the shouts of Banzai as he races up the inside of other people is Kimi Raikkonen.
Chris, there's Bonsai.
Bonsai, yeah.
Small tree.
Kimi, who took out Bottas and was then given a 30-second penalty, which took him from
fifth
down to eighth, changing the number of points which Ferrari had, wrapping up the World Constructors' Championship for Mercedes.
Kimi stuck his red end directly in the Bottas.
You have one job.
Be funny.
Yeah, you've not done that very well.
I have.
Yeah, what was he playing at, apart from pasta time? It's like Lee said before, trying to put a Formula One car in a 6-inch gap.
Yeah, it didn't work.
It's not going to work.
It didn't work for Maldonado in Valencia years ago when he was in Williams. It was a very similar accident. It didn't work for Kimi then.
No, that's true. What was it? Then it was Lewis who stuck in the barrier in Valencia, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
No, it was. It was good to see the old racy Kimi back, but he just went psycho.
A bit less caffeine, I think.
Yeah.
Apparently, his engineer essentially told him to do it. So you're on the second to last lap. The engineer came over and said, "Right, Kimi, this lap, all or nothing."
He left with nothing.
Yeah.
Well, no, he got some points.
He got some points, but not enough of them, obviously.
And how fast did that car look when all the sparks were coming out the back of it? he could catch Lewis here.
That's why back onto the idea of putting spark plates on the backs of cars again.
Well, they've got them now, haven't they? That's why we're seeing sparks again.
Yeah, just not that many and not coming from the front of the floor.
No.
I'm sure Force India will be fairly happy about what happened, because it got Perez on the podium.
Yes, who'd done brilliantly all race and was doing his best to bring two very, very, very worn out front tyres home.
Yeah, he's good at that though, isn't he? He's good at like wringing his tyres out.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot left of them by the time.
No,
as somebody said, last time I saw that much canvas, I was in an art gallery.
It was a Jensen-esque drive, actually, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, no, because he wrecked his tyres, he didn't save them.
What?
Jensen's good at saving tyres. Perez wrecks tyres and then can drive for ages on
the Yeah, then drives on the rims.
Yeah.
but it's one thing that amazes me there, though, is obviously Hülkenberg had the accident at the beginning, but yet again, Force India have a podium, yet again, Hülkenberg isn't the one that gets it. Still no podium in Formula One.
We have cursed Hülkenberg, though. And I'm blaming Chris for this, because he's not here. Chris came up with a theory that at some point in every race, Hülkenberg always runs fifth.
Yeah.
Since Chris came up with that theory, it's happened precisely once, and he's not finished four out of his last six races.
No, it's...
So, we take it back.
Yeah, sorry, Hulk.
But one other thing that was noticeable about Force India, and I thought this was a good sneaky move, In Russia, they have an alcohol advertising ban, which is why the Force Indians didn't have the Smirnoff logo on. You didn't see Johnny Walker on the side of the McLaren. Williams weren't carrying the Martini branding. It's a complete advertising ban. You can't advertise any alcohol if it's over 0.5%.
I thought it was import law.
The only thing you're allowed to advertise are Russian wines.
Right, okay, I get you.
No team is...
I thought it had something to do with those import restraints that were... There was import restraints, but in Russia, wasn't there?
No, it was... it's all to do with cutting down the amount of alcoholism in Russia. I know they said the Soviet Union. They're not that bad yet. Sorry, Vladimir, don't shoot us.
But Russian wines don't affect alcoholism?
No, apparently not. It's what Boris Yeltsin used to drink, and he wasn't drunk all the time.
Ah.
Honest. So, no, what Force India did was they still had their Kingfisher logo on the cars. And Kingfisher, obviously, are known for their lager, which you can get in just about every curry house, with it being an Indian lager brand, the ones that don't sell Cobra. But Kingfisher was also Vijay Mallya's airline that went out of business in 2013. But they were advertising that because they had the same logo. Sneaky. Clever.
Do you think anyone noticed?
I did. Don't know if anyone else did. Obviously, Mallya's left Russia in one piece, so Putin didn't. Although he's got other things to think about, wringing the champagne out of his suit.
Yeah. Is it the same Kingfisher that's owned by Vijay Mallya? That I know it's the same that's the airline. I know the booze is the same, but you also get there's a Kingfisher Chemicals. Is that the same Kingfisher?
Because
they might decorate his cork and stuff like that.
No, it isn't.
And paints.
No, it isn't. That's a different brand. I remember that from my old days of selling pallets of decorator's cork and industrial adhesives. And, decorating supplies a long time ago.
That's good. We can get on with the Formula One stuff now.
Yeah, but if they had the same logo, it would be.
Have the same logo and run by the same people.
Never see that. But yeah, Mallya manages to sneak one of his brands onto the car, even though it doesn't exist anymore. What did we think of Sauber's performance this weekend?
Less anonymous?
We actually did see a bit of him.
Yeah. Where was Nasser? He finished in the points, didn't he?
I don't remember.
I think he actually did finish in the points. This is how anonymous Sauber are. We're doing a Formula One podcast about a race that took place just over 24 hours ago. And we can't remember where Sauber finished.
Was he seventh? Seventh or eighth?
You're the one with the iPad. on the whole, they weren't too anonymous. We just can't remember how not anonymous they were. But they appear to be starting to pick up.
Yeah.
Although, will we be seeing less of them on TV now that they're taking Bernie to the European Court of Human Rights for not giving them enough money? And then again,
I don't know. We saw some Force Indias, and they're involved in.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's very hard not to show a car that's on the podium, but yeah, they did that to Lewis, didn't they? So, no, the whole situation with this, about the smaller teams wanting a bigger share of the pot, does that make sense? Because personally, I think it does if it keeps them in.
Don't forget, To make what the money that Ferrari and Mercedes and Renault possibly to get themselves in there, for these manufacturers and these independent teams as well, like the big teams like McLaren and stuff, piling money into these teams, to make it worthwhile what the amount they're spending, it needs to be worthwhile to win something. So without competition, it's not worth it. If Mercedes win another three world championships on the back of this. Just say even the 2017 engine shake-up doesn't change anything. Then every championship they win from it being an engine formula is going to cheapen the achievement every time.
How is that related to how much money Sauber get from...
Because the more money that's distributed to the team, to the other teams, is the easier it's going to be for them to come up.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and you know, to make it a race. If you're not racing anyone, you're just driving around advertising. That's all Lewis did in Sochi, was drive around advertising BlackBerry now and again when we saw him.
Yeah, anybody own one? Anybody feel the urge to go out and buy a BlackBerry after Lewis's performance?
Are we talking about the small berry fruit?
No, we're talking about the phones where if you actually use one without a headset plugged in, you sound like a Dalek in a wind tunnel.
Do people still buy those?
Well, they advertise them.
Well, that's because people aren't buying them.
Yeah, that's true.
You don't see the iPhones being advertised.
No.
on Formula One cars.
No.
Sony continually keep making Walkmans that nobody buys.
Has anyone told them that the cassette is dead?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, people that listen to cassettes usually have very large beards.
Sorry, that just got quickly derailed, didn't it? But yeah, I just, is it NASCAR where every team starts with a million? Every team gets the same amount?
Yeah, and then they can add sponsorship money on top of that, which is why you get all these NASCAR cars, which you can't actually see any car under the logo.
Yeah, yeah.
But presumably there's prize money at the end as well.
What?
In NASCAR?
In NASCAR.
Yeah, three packets of chewing tobacco and some good old sipping whiskey.
And you get whiskey?
And a gun.
Yeah. But to be fair, you get a gun just for starting.
Just for entering America.
We'd like to apologise to our American listeners, but we're not gonna. No. Actually, no, we wouldn't like to apologise. Actually, no, we're very, very sorry for you.
Yeah, you keep fucking shooting each other.
Going back to slightly less controversial things, Vladimir Putin. So we talked about pretty much all the teams and their performance. I mean, not mentioned Vettel yet. Nice solid drive.
He did come second.
Yeah, he came second. He seemed happy enough. The Ferrari is improving, and if they can carry on the improvements into the new engine next season, I think we might have two teams fighting for at least one title.
Unless Mercedes
just pulled something out of the bag and it's like, oh, we've developed warp drive, but it's still fits in with the current engine regulations.
The other scary thing is how much have they got in their pocket now?
I don't really want to think about that because are they still sandbagging this late on in the season?
They definitely, Lewis had more in hand. Over Vettel, you know, if Vettel would have started to creep towards him, there'd have been another dial on that steering wheel.
Well, no, Lewis was going backwards in the direction of Vettel for a while because he had some kind of rear wing problem.
Oh, yeah, that he couldn't have. I mean, they said, oh, try not to use DRS. I suppose you can use it while he's lapping somebody, but it's not that he's going to have to overtake anybody. I bet that button's got to be like highlighted with DRS written and a big sticker stuck on it, stuck next to it.
Remember me.
Yeah.
I think that covers about everything that sort of happened on and around the track on Sunday. Oh, have we missed anything?
I'm just trying to think which teams, if any, we haven't talked about.
We haven't actually talked about Red Bull, but we've got a lot to say about them anyway, so.
We've not said a lot about
Red Bull. We might as well mention as well. Pastor drove a good race, finished the points.
Yes. Yeah. By the way, well done. Well done to Ryan. You were the only person that said points finish.
Well, I said he'd finish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ryan actually said points finish. Better than finish. And
oh no! After Dan won two.
Two of us actually got our Pastor disaster predictions in after the race had started because due to various technical issues, we kind of didn't get a chance.
Yeah.
Called forgetting.
Yeah.
Considering I kind of love the past disaster thing, like a small child, I feel like I've nurtured, I completely forgot about it.
And you remembered on lap two and said, oh, I think lap one, turn one.
Yeah, I couldn't even cheat properly.
But we will have a proper past disaster for Austin, and I'm probably thinking he will be as well, because there's no way he can finish three on the trot.
Oh, it's a dangerous first corner, that as well.
He did say he was going to aim to finish every race this year in the middle of the season. after he finished two or so.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe they told him just drive careful, we haven't got the spares anymore. But yeah, you're right, we haven't...
Interesting thing about Pastor though, even after his backer has dumped the money up, haven't they, for 2016 already, you know, when they announced him as a driver for Lotus, yeah. And we were sort of saying, well, is he a driver for Lotus or is he a driver for Renault? He was said in the media just before the race that my F1 career isn't certain.
Oh, right.
So yeah, we might have a past disaster, and that makes me.
No, I think he'll be there next season.
I suppose he might not be there if he might be in another team. Might be in Haas.
Oh. Wait to ruin your first season.
Way to get a few puns in. He'll make a right Haas of it. Every race.
So we're gonna have to change it to the Haaster disaster next season. No, I'm not even knowing that. Yeah, you're right, we didn't mention Williams. Unfortunate for Bottas.
Yes.
Pasta has to have an accident.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Unfortunate for Bottas.
Yes, they do. Yeah, unfortunate for Bottas.
Who had just got third place from Perez.
Yeah. And it looked like if Kimi had ridden legally, he would have been able to hold him off. Because he wasn't leaving him enough space, and he was defending well.
So, as we've said, Kimi was being very racy all weekend.
Yeah, but I think Bottas could have coped with it. If I mean, he did everything he could to keep Kimi behind him, especially on the corner where Kimi took him off.
Yeah.
Because he didn't give Kimi the room to go up the inside. As it turned out, Kimi decided
did anyway.
Didn't need the room, didn't want the room, and used what room there was in a downside more besides that there wasn't. And he did feel sorry for him because he was on the verge of getting another podium for Williams. And he has been good this season, and definitely this weekend. Massa's was a good recovery drive.
Yeah.
What happened to him in qualifying though?
It just didn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, he was looking good in what practice we saw.
If I remember right, on his fast lap, he got there were slow cars in front of him.
Right, okay.
So he had a couple of unlucky fast laps where he couldn't actually do a clean lap.
Yeah.
I was busy repairing a server during qualifying, yeah. So I didn't get to see too much of that, unfortunately. I'm not going to stop going on about it. but no, he was looking good in what practices they managed to run, because obviously P1 didn't really count because of all the fuel problems. P2 was a complete washout, and
P3 got cut short.
P3 got cut short, and there was only three quarters of an hour of effective running pre-qualifying. Yeah.
Is there a case to be made then if with all like cutbacks and stuff like that in Formula One? Is there a case made you could probably get rid of Friday practice, or at least one of the sessions?
I don't know. I don't think so. Because I mean, there's definitely less sessions than there used to be. Because don't forget, they used to have the Sunday morning warm up as well.
But is it not? Maybe that would be the answer then. Maybe a Saturday practice and a Sunday morning warm up before the race.
But the drivers do need to have sufficient time at the track to.
Well, yeah, I know, but it's. Do you not think that there was, going into qualifying with the lack of practice that they had, or shorter sessions, there was an element of unpredictability in through the whole race? You know, even in qualifying, Q1, they sent.
Would you want to be on the same track as Maldonado, where he doesn't know if it's a left or a right turn coming?
I really don't think it matters.
Would you want to be on the same track as Kimi if you weren't sure if he knew if it was a left or a right coming?
Oh, Kimi's a world champion. He makes one mistake where there's no way are we putting in the same bracket as that lunatic.
No, I think with the way that the cars are, the amount of refinements that need to be made on them.
They all managed it though, didn't they?
Don't forget
all the cars go there basically with a baseline now.
Yeah.
Because of how good the simulators are. So realistically, that you could probably have a race if they weren't even allowed to adjust the cars. You know, they could go there with a feel.
Yes,
GP3.
Well, yeah. But no, it was just something I was thinking that it's. I thought the unpredictable nature of the build up to the race was interesting.
I think that's getting into sprinklers to keep it interesting territory.
Do you think so?
Yeah. I don't think it'd work. I mean, don't forget how it used to work, where you used to have pre-qualifying stupid o'clock on Friday morning at about 7 o'clock. Then you'd have two longer sessions on the Friday. Then you'd have an hour and a half on the Saturday. Then you'd have real qualifying, and that was constant driving for an hour. Then you'd have the warm-up on the Sunday. Then you'd have the race as well. I think what they've got now works.
Yeah.
With the two sessions on a Friday. Don't forget the Friday morning session, it's more of an installation one just to make sure that everything works.
Mm-hmm.
Practice two on a Friday, it's closer to race conditions because it's going to be the same time of day. So the track's going to be in the same state.
Don't forget, we never see this on television, but they essentially have a shakedown on Sunday. Anyway. It's not like a proper one where it's a time thing where they're going round, but when you're actually at the circuit, the amount of times those cars drift through the pit lane.
Oh yeah.
You know, and then go back out round, then come back and go through the pit lane. It's more than just a couple of laps.
Yeah.
So it's you get the impression sometimes that on Sunday they drive out of the garage and line up on the grid sometimes, and it's not that.
Oh no, I mean sometimes they will get sort of four, five or six laps in because the pit lane opens half an hour before the race starts, and you see the grid forming up about 15 minutes before the race starts.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, that is the case. But it used to be a full half hour warm up session.
Yeah. I remember it being that. I remember that session being there.
So I remember in the Japanese Grand Prix one year, I went to bed just as the warm up was starting and woke up just as the race was about to start. It was like the perfect gap for the night race.
It's just a power snooze.
Yeah, it was. About 4 hours spot on. But no, I think they need to keep the three, because you've got your practice one and practice three are your sort of initialisation sessions. Practice two, they tend to go for race simulation. Yeah,
it's also the only time to slam a new driver in as well, isn't it? You know, it's, otherwise you wouldn't get any Julian Palmers or getting laps.
Yeah, because I mean you can't really have your reserve driver going out in practice two on a Friday afternoon.
No.
When it's race conditions, when they're not going to race.
Yeah.
So you're going to want your race driver in there.
Yeah.
But change practice one to say that every team has to use a third driver maybe would be a good idea.
Yeah. Every
team that has a third driver.
I think most teams have got reserve and development drivers.
I'm not sure that Toro Rosso do.
They do. It's a French guy, Pierre something.
Yeah, he races in GP2 one of the Dams cars.
I just know his name's Pierre.
Pierre Gasly.
That's it. Yeah.
Couldn't find any reference to him anywhere.
I only know that because they mentioned it on the telly.
Mm. No, Pierre Gasly, who is a GP2 driver, is the Toro Rosso reserve driver because Red Bull own him. Because if you look at his GP2 car, it is a Red Bull, just a little bit scaled down. Just like McLaren on Stoffel Van Dorn, and for some reason Force India run Johnny Cecotto at some point. Anyway, I'll stop whinging about him. But yes, Red Bull. Lots to talk about, starting with race performance. Danny Kaye in his home race said he struggled a little bit at the start of the weekend and managed to get the car together.
Mm-hmm.
And an adequate sixth. Danny Rick, we didn't see a great deal of.
I thought he was going to end up on the podium for a while until his tyres started to go off.
He just ended up parking.
But his tyres were going off before he had a problem, weren't they?
Yeah.
Or was it part of that which was making him slow down?
I think he got a vibration that may or may not have been caused by the tyres, but he just didn't have it this weekend.
I don't think he had the car, because he was well ahead of Kvyat. You know, it's, he outdrove Kvyat all the way through the qualifying and the race, didn't he?
Kvyat, but Kvyat said himself that he was struggling with the car as well. Was it just the circuit that wasn't there for the Red Bulls?
I think the circuit really didn't suit the Red Bulls.
Yeah.
It can't
be good for them though. You know, all this line over them. They don't even know if they're racing next year. I mean, to be perfectly honest, I think Danny Kvyat would have that worry anyway. But Ricciardo deserves to be in Formula One, and I personally think he's one of the guys to me that could race anybody given the equipment to do so. But he doesn't know whether he's racing next year.
Yeah, I mean, now interestingly enough, Chris is in Australia at the minute, and he was watching the race on Australian TV, and Danny Ricciardo was all the Australian commentators were talking about, apparently. Than what Mark Webber's up to these days.
Jeez, you mean in other countries they support their local driver or their homegrown drivers?
It would appear so.
That's amazing.
Yeah, they don't rip them to pieces.
No,
no.
Jeez.
I mean, it's not.
I want to watch Venezuelan commentators.
I mean, it's not quite to the levels of RTL with the Shumi cam that they used to have. That was a great invention. Didn't matter what was going on the track, they had the main feed and just a little bottom left of the screen, one camera focused on Schumacher going round.
It lacks the thrill it used to have these days, though.
Don't go there, baby.
Don't make me find the Jacques Villeneuve sample again. But yes, now the question is with Red Bull, are they going to be competing next year? And what is going to be powering the car?
Bernie Eccleston says their engine worries are all sorted.
Purple monkey dishwasher.
Christian Horner is not aware that their engine problems are all sorted. Adrian Newey says that
it's everybody else's fault.
Red Bull are being forced out by everybody else.
And the BBC are saying it's not 100% impossible that they might still have Renaults at the back of the car next year.
Yeah.
There was a great line, actually. Second best line of the weekend was, you know, that the Scottish guy that does Sky Sports,
Paul de Resta.
No, the news guy, the interviewer. He was speaking to Bernie Eccleston, and he was asking about the engines and stuff like that. He said, Dietrich Mateschitz is still happy in Formula One. You know, he still wants to be here. And Bernie also looked dead in the eyes and said, are you asking me or telling me?
I didn't notice in that interview, he was talking to Bernie Eccleston like
God.
Like you would a politician. Like, Mr. Eccleston, can you confirm or deny this? And he was being, I don't know, he was...
I thought he was being so polite. It was almost like he had his child in a blender and Bernie Eccleston's finger was offering over this blender. Said, yes, Mr. Eccleston. No, Mr. Eccleston. Can I have Dave back?
But, I mean, Red Bull have definitely done it to themselves.
Yeah.
They have done nothing but whinge. And I'm siding with Renault in the you treat it as like crap side of things.
They didn't support the engine manufacturer, which has been with them for every success they've had so far.
Yeah.
And it was very, very obvious compared to the message that was coming out of McLaren with respect to how the team and their engine partner were trying very hard to come up with solutions to their current problems. And Red Bull was saying... The Renault's crap.
Yeah. It's made of bolts of wood. But I mean, even McLaren, you know, when they start to get that niggle between, you know, McLaren and Honda, that seems to have been quickly sorted, you know, because that hasn't bubbled up anymore.
Yeah, there's not been as much of the we want Arai fired and maybe they'll tell Eric Boulier just to shut up and eat some cakes.
I'm sure he'd be quite happy with that.
David Coulthard tried to interview Eric Boulier on the grid walk and got completely blanked by him.
Wow.
So I think he may not be allowed to talk to the media anymore.
Yeah, that I don't think is a bad thing.
Well, we picked up on the fact that in Japan, considering how sick Ron Dennis was supposed to be that weekend, and he was still pushed out in front of the camera rather than Eric Bouillier doing it, when you think it should be that guy's job.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about, are Red Bull going to be in Formula 1 next year? Is Eric Bouillier going to be in Formula 1 next year?
I do hope not. I think, given what we've seen over the past couple of races, quite possibly not.
Mm. Well, they said he was the new Martin Whitmarsh, and look what happened to him.
Well, yeah.
But going back to Red Bull, the other interesting theory that he's doing the rounds is, doing a brawl.
I think I see this as the most likely solution for that at the minute.
Horner Newey Racing.
Or
just Horner Racing.
Well, I mean,
or Horner Halliwell Racing.
It could even go to the point where if Dietrich Mateschitz and Dr. Helmut Marko want to get out of Formula 1, and Horner is willing to stump the cash up to run the team, it could even be something that's mutually beneficial of, well, we'll take a step back and we'll sponsor your car. Because we were talking last week, weren't they, about them being a title sponsor on it? Instead of being Red Bull Racing, if it's Red Bull Horner Racing, they're getting exactly the same exposure while saying it's not totally us.
My thoughts on this would be, Mateschitz pulls out of Red Bull Racing. It becomes Team Horner. Toro Rosso then becomes Red Bull in a couple of years. And they keep that one going.
Well, it would make sense if the Red Bull big team dropped out, it would make sense to call Toro Rosso Red Bull immediately. Wouldn't it, surely?
But it's probably rules and regulations about changing team names.
Yeah, that would be almost as confusing as having Lotus and Lotus on the grid.
No, because you wouldn't have a Toro Rosso anymore, would you? So it'd just be Red Bull. We don't know what's going on because we're all Formula One fans. Joe Public would just see Red Bull there and go, all right.
Yeah, but at the moment, Joe Public's looking at the grid going, why have Red Bull got four cars and everybody else has only got two?
So that way makes it simpler.
And why do two of the Red Bulls look different to the others? But not much. where would it leave Toro Rosso? And not the point, what would it do with the Young Drivers Programme, which, don't forget, gave us Vettel. It's given us the two absolutely top quality drivers that they've got in the Toro Rosso at the moment.
Yeah, it's took out the back and shot a load of good ones as well, though.
Yeah, unfortunately, it also gave us Scott Speed and... I can't remember his name.
It destroyed... Aljustwari, Buemi, Jev... Who else have we had which looked all right in those cars? There must be another one there.
Yeah, there is, and I can't remember. No, brain's gone.
Yeah.
But I'll just worry he doesn't race anymore anyway, does he?
No, he's been forced to retire.
Yeah. Yeah. Now a full-time rapper.
DJ, no, it's dance music.
Oh, is it dance music? Oh, I thought he'd gone into rap.
He goes under DJ Squire.
DJ Squire.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's really good.
Named after the Chief Fingers. Really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really, really good.
Dance music and really, really good.
Yeah. It's that sort of like European electro-y, trancy stuff. It's good. It's proper music.
You are not selling this to me at all. Yeah.
It's better than Jack. It's better than Jack.
Yeah, but so is Ed Sheeran.
I wouldn't.
And I hate Ed Sheeran.
I wouldn't go that far. At least Jack's a racing driver. I'm sure we would talk about Formula One.
Yeah, we would.
Yeah.
So do we think it could well be Horner Racing? I mean, we've got another. Where are we? The 12th today, and the decision's going to be made by the end of the month. So we've got another 2.5 weeks of pure speculation.
I'm surprised.
It's dead air to fill.
That, given all the panic talks and meetings going on all over the place, and Bernie saying everything was fine. And like I think the only person he hasn't spoke to about you putting an engine in that Red Bull was asking me if I'd give him the one out of the van.
I think you had Citroën in Formula 1.
They wouldn't want it to rent it. I think the fact that nothing's been said today, no positive news, is a bad sign.
Well, except for Bernie coming out and saying we need Ford back in F1.
Yeah, we'll fix this. Mechachrome!
Oh, it can't be Mechachrome, that's Briatore.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, Bernie wants Ford back in Formula One.
And the Red Bull Playlife.
No, that was a Mechachrome as well, where he badged.
Which is a nice name.
Every engine manufacturer is going to be running absolutely terrified of joining Formula One just because of Honda.
At the moment, we've got the Mercedes engine, which the Mercedes team are always going to get the best quality Mercedes engines.
Yeah.
We've got the Ferrari engine. The Ferrari team is always going to get the best quality Ferrari engines. We have the Renault engine, and it looks like Renault are going to be running their own works team, so the Renault team are always going to get the best Renault engines. Mm. So that leaves the Honda engine as the only one that potentially won't have such an investment in one team doing well.
But Honda have said nobody's asked us about engines for this year and for next year, and everyone said, "Why are you bloody surprised?"
Yeah. In other words, yeah. Water's wet, moon is still in the place it was.
Yeah.
But I think more independent engine suppliers would be a good thing. So Cosworth back, hell yeah.
It's not going to happen in time to save Red Bull, though, is it?
Possibly not.
But I believe that Cosworth produced at least prototype 2014 engines.
Right. But that's, that, again, that's
no, turbo, no one was interested.
But no new engine supplier will come in for 1 year and then have to change everything for 2017 for the next set of engine regs. I'm going to stick my neck out on this one with a prediction for if Red Bull stay in. Red Bull do stay in, run Renault engines next year with Toro Rosso running 2015 Ferraris. In 2017, Red Bull and Toro Rosso run Fords, or a new manufacturer.
Yeah, that does sound like the most likely thing.
It sounds good, but I still don't think unless Ford were planning to come back into Formula One last year, and preferably the year before as well, you know, looking at the turbo era, they're not going to make an engine in a year. Honda have had, 4 years to do this?
And got it massively wrong, but maybe Ford can do it by learning from Honda's mistakes and, you know, all right, doing it quick. But Pirelli have said that they want more testing next year. Are they going to get a current chassis and what engine are they going to stick in the back of it? And could that be some kind of tie-up with Ford where they're shaking down the tyres and the new engines at the same time?
Maybe. I mean, there's always the possibility that the VW debacle that's going on now hasn't affected their view of entering Formula One.
I don't think they'll have the money to do it purely and simply because of the amount that they are going to get fined, because they're talking about fines into the billions.
Yeah, but the thing is, I mean, I'm fucking paint decorator. I don't understand things like this. But when you get these massive companies with massive amounts of money to shift around, you know, it might affect an area of that business.
There's talk about VW actually having to sell bits off to be able to pay the fines. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, no, we're talking billions, not right. billion, billions right. in fines. If not kill the company, wound it quite noticeably. Mm-hmm. I think F1 is probably going to be the least of their priorities. Of course, putting the tinfoil hat on and saying it's a massive conspiracy was this all set up by Ron Dennis or Areva Bennett just to make sure that VW don't come into Formula One? I doubt it.
I'd wonder whether, I mean, this is the other thing as well, if they're going to keep the World Endurance Championship team going, even with all this going on, the fact that they're getting beaten now regularly by Porsche, maybe they would pull the plug on their Endurance Championship team to enter Formula One.
Don't VW own a stake in Porsche?
I don't know.
I think they do.
I believe so, yeah.
Well, but they're still getting beaten on track. You know, the Audi team is getting beaten by the Porsche team.
Mm. Yeah, but it's still the same group of companies.
Yeah, so
at the moment.
Yeah, but they're just advertising different brands. So VW head office.
Yeah.
Are going to be happy because they've got first, second, third, and fourth. It doesn't matter what order they finish in,
right?
Because it's still a car carrying one of their brands.
Yeah.
You know, they still have two of their brands on the podium if they get in the top four places.
In that case, doesn't it make more sense for them to pull one of those brands out of endurance to put it in Formula One?
Well, they tried with Porsche before and it failed completely, didn't it?
Yeah.
So no.
Well, no, I mean, yeah, but that doesn't mean that it's not worth doing.
Oh, well, yeah.
That just means they got it wrong.
Yeah. But they can't afford to get anything wrong again at the minute.
But I mean, it depending on what happens to them, it could even be something that helps rebuild a damaged, a reputation.
Possibly, but this is going to be a wait and see how much they get fined and how bad they've actually been.
I think there's more chance of VW coming in than there is of Ford, because the top and bottom of it is if they've already arranged with Red Bull to come in 2017, that means they've done 99% of their R&D.
Ah, yeah, but Bernie says that he wants Ford in, and what Bernie wants.
He didn't manage to get a Mercedes in the back of a Red Bull.
Yet.
At all. Or a Ferrari. So, do you know what I mean? I mean, obviously, there's big problems for VW, but if they've already poured like $200 or $300 million into developing engines, and they've got prototype engines sat there, are they going to be in enough trouble to pull the plug on that amount of money that they've invested before getting anything out of it?
Hmm.
It's not like they're going to start building it this week.
No, that is true.
Given the choice, I think they will be pulling the plug on things that are not currently making money.
Right, yeah.
Rather than things that they're seeing a profit from now.
Hmm. One other thing, though, saying whatever Bernie wants, Bernie gets. Bernie also seems to be saying that Formula One will have new owners probably by the end of the year.
I read that.
Though those new owners will probably employ Bernie as figurehead,
chief executive. Yeah.
Is it a way of getting rid of the CVC, moniker?
Could well be.
Yeah. Because of all the heat CBC are giving you, it's not being fair with teams and things like that. If all of a sudden a new owner comes in that isn't CBC.
Yeah. Oh, look, it's SBC. A new broom. Actually, it's the same broom, just with a slightly different handle.
Yeah. The other thing that Martin Brundle mentioned, which I thought was quite interesting, was he was talking about the Sauber and Force India case, against the distribution of money, which we were talking about, and he said, well, maybe this is it's engineered by Bernie, because Bernie thinks Formula One needs a reset. So if he can make enough chaos go on in order to make this reset, then all of a sudden if they have to distribute the money slightly different through Formula One and it's not Bernie's call to do it, maybe it still suits Bernie.
That's quite possible.
That is very Machiavellian, so yeah, it's very possible. I'd love to be able to talk more about what happened on track than off it, but it's never going to happen, is it? Do we have anything else on the running order?
We've got a couple of things. We've been talking in our pre-show production meeting.
Where there was biscuits.
Where there were biscuits and brews. About two different futures. The future of Formula One and the future of Nico Rosberg.
Yes.
Which one do we fancy chatting about first?
I reckon we'll do the future of Formula One first, because that's kind of, it kind of leads on nicely from the court case and the new ownership. Yeah. So.
Yes, so Lee's been looking at viewing figures, which are apparently dropping.
The Japanese Grand Prix was dreadful. It's like 2.51, did I say, or 2.6?
The Japanese Grand Prix was dreadful.
Yeah, but people don't know that before they tune in. And it was coming off the back of quite a good race as well, didn't
it?
And it's, I personally think that the Sky deal's up in 2016, isn't it? I think that's the last year of the Sky deal. Formula One will go free to air in 2017 when the new rules come out.
I'm not certain that it will.
I'm not convinced, because Sky seems to be showing a lot more races, not just on the Sky F1 channel. It's appearing on normal Sky Sports and it's appearing on Sky One as well. I think what we'll actually see is Sky continuing the deal, BBC continuing their half and half, but Sky showing some of the races on their free-to-air channel, Pick TV, but not just the races at the BBC show. I think they'll show a couple of extra Sky exclusive races, free-to-air.
Would make sense. I don't think the teams are going to allow what's going on at the minute to carry on.
The thing is, though, Sky, and it's a Sky worldwide thing.
Let's not forget where even this, there's more. BBC have got more races now than they did, didn't they?
Yeah, but that's because there's more races. Still only getting half the calendar.
Yeah, and the there was such a fuss made about that, about making sure, because at first it was highlights. I remember Martin Whitmarsh was talking about it, and he was saying, like, well, the highlights unsettle me. What's highlights? 10 minutes, 15 minutes? Then it was, oh, it's extended highlights.
Well, it used to be when BBC and Sky started the split deal.
Yeah.
The races that Sky had, they were calling it Match of the Day Syndrome, where there was something like three times as much talking as there was actually action shown. Now it's the other way around, at least, and you're getting to see more of the race in the highlights package.
Yeah.
But don't forget, News International, who effectively owns Sky in the UK, Germany and Italy, which are the three biggest markets in Europe for F1, they have the same deals in place right across Europe. So you'll get every race live on the pay channels, and half the races live, free to air. And they are paying absolutely through the nose for it. And the free-to-air channels are still paying for it as well. I think the team will be perfectly happy. Yeah, there's going to be less viewers, but the amount of money that's coming in through the pay TV deals more than offsets the dip in sponsorship money for the less viewers.
But then that depends on how the TV money's getting distributed, which at the moment is fucking bad.
I think we'll hear more about what the next TV deal is going to be after this TV money distribution case. And if it's the case that all the money has to be distributed equally between the teams, or more fair, then yeah, I think we could see a shift in more free to air coverage.
There does need to be something done to it, because I mean, even if it is that. Like, all teams are considered equal. It's
but Ferrari are more equal than others.
I was just going to say that. That's always going to be the problem, is trying to get Ferrari especially and McLaren, because I think they have the two biggest slices of it.
Yeah, but Ferrari's got one thing that McLaren doesn't, and that is the power of veto over any new regulations that come into F1. The other 9, 10, up to 11 teams... depending on how many are on the grid this year, they can all say, yes, we want that. All Ferrari have to do is say, actually, we don't, and it doesn't happen.
It's ridiculous, that, isn't it?
Yeah. They can't get rid of that until the next Concorde Agreement, but if they take it out, Ferrari won't sign it. And then we'll be left in the situation that we were again with the threat of a breakaway championship.
If all the other teams were to sign a the Concorde Agreement, and Ferrari were left just without it signed, I think it would be worth to play chicken with Ferrari. Personally, I don't think Ferrari is as important to Formula One as Ferrari thinks it is. It's very important to Formula One, and of course we want Ferrari in the sport.
But it's not crucial.
If Ferrari left, the sport would go on. I'd argue at the minute, just because of what they're doing, you know, it's as far as eyes on television, Mercedes is just equally a marquee brand as Ferrari being up there.
When they get shown.
Well, when they get shown. But, yeah, it would be a shame to lose Ferrari, but I don't think they have that power that they had in the 90s, say.
But the thing is, though, the whole agreement's structured in Formula One, the Concorde Agreement that gets presented to the teams, everybody signs apart from Ferrari. Ferrari say, we don't like it. They have to write a new one that Ferrari do like. That is how much clout Ferrari have got.
Yeah, but I see, the thing is, I think Formula One's more important to Ferrari because if you own a Ferrari and you have the money to do that sort of thing, having an association with that brand in that sport is attractive.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't get the Ferrari thing. I think that's why I'm confusing myself. I don't get why they're so important to it.
They've always been there.
Yeah. So Silverstone and Bernie Eccleston seems to be doing his very best to get rid of that.
Yeah, he did for a while. I think it used to be at Aintree.
Still isn't it? Well, yeah, but Silverstone's in more trouble as well, isn't it? There's more risks with Silverstone not happening again.
Oh, is it October already?
Yeah.
Yeah, British Grand Prix under threat. Oh, right, it's Halloween soon. Now, the future of Nico Rosberg. This was an interesting conversation that we had, that we said we should be recording this, so we have decided to.
Yeah.
Is Nico Rosberg ever going to win a world championship? Or is Nico Rosberg ever going to win a world championship in a Mercedes? I say no to both.
I think that Nico Rosberg will struggle to win a world championship at Mercedes with Lewis Hamilton being there. I do think it's possible. I think we've talked in the past about the slight changes that make the car favour one driver over another.
Yeah.
And if things just happen to fall Nico's way rather than Lewis's, then yes, I think he could be capable of winning a world championship against Lewis Hamilton in the Mercedes. However, I think it's very unlikely that something that doesn't favour Lewis would happen.
No,
the only thing that can happen to Lewis that wouldn't favour Lewis is after winning his third world championship, second on the bounce, if Lewis happens to Lewis and he takes his eye off the ball. If that's the only thing I think that can derail
him. I think now if Lewis takes his eye off the ball, he'll just walk away and say, right, I've done everything I can and I'm not into it anymore. Don't forget, this is the new Lewis that doesn't stamp his feet and throw his toys out.
Yeah. Oh no, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying I think that's the only factor that could come in that could be the swing.
I disagree. 2017.
When
the whole formula changes,
will that, it suit a driver more than another driver?
Yeah,
I didn't think of that.
But the new Lewis, I think he's just got the ability to change what he does and adapt himself to whatever the new formula requires of him. The old Lewis would have just stamped his feet and said, I don't like it, man.
Yeah. But saying that, though, everything's going his way. So how do we know? How do we know the new Lewis is the new Lewis when everything is going his way?
Because he's still partying as much as Andrew WK, and he's now getting on with it.
Yeah, no, but
before he was partying as much as Andrew WK, and he wasn't doing it.
But it is going his way. I still think. I mean, I'm not much of a Lewis Hamilton fan, but I do appreciate how good he is. The thing I've got with him is if he was being challenged by his teammate, I think you'd see a very different Lewis Hamilton.
I think
you'd see a more erratic and at times more desperate Lewis.
I think the main reason that he's not being challenged by his teammate is that he actually is that good, knows it, isn't arrogant about it anymore, and just gets on with it and does it.
Yeah, but that's... I think it's because he's that much better than his teammate. If Vettel was in the car or Alonso was in the car, I think that'd be different.
Possibly, but these days it's Alonso that's the one that's throwing the toys out of the pram.
Well, yeah. One good thing to say about Lewis, and I thought this weekend after when he got out of the car, is he really seems to appreciate everything that's happening to him. You almost get the feeling that we are, even when he's walking up to the team up when he's run a race, he's really soaking in what's going on around him.
He said one very telling thing when he crossed the line on Sunday. I don't know if you noticed it. Yeah. Have you guys won the Constructors? Not have we won the Constructors, have you guys? Which, to me, says that he was giving credit to the team for putting the car together to win the Constructors title. He's all about the driver's title, but he's concerned about the team and the guys that he's talking to on the radio winning the Constructors title.
Yeah.
Not, have I won the Constructors title for you?
Have we
won it? Have you won it? Have you made the car that's done it?
Yeah.
That is an attitude from him that we've never seen before. I was shocked when he said that. I was shocked in a good way.
He has always taken care to thank his team for the work that they put in. To
everything.
Help him and the team win the races.
Yeah.
So I don't find it surprising that he's done that, and he's thought about how to phrase it in the way that makes it clear he's saying the Constructors' Championship is Mercedes, not Lewis Hamilton and Nico Rosberg's.
It just came as a shock that he was actually humble by Lewis standards.
No, he has always... I'm not going to say he's always been humble, but he's always made it clear that it's not Lewis Hamilton who's winning, it's Lewis Hamilton and the team around him.
Mm. But going back to the Rosberg thing, my thinking on this, Rosberg is a beaten man when it comes to being in the same car as Lewis Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
And it would take a lot to either shift that attitude, or Hamilton would have to get massively bad luck and, you know, everything to fall in Rosberg's way.
Well, don't forget, the only time that Rosberg's is truly, like, almost been on top of Lewis was last year from Monaco.
Mm.
So you could almost argue the fact that just to get on top of Lewis, he has to cheat.
No, I think... last year they were 50-50 for a lot of it, mm-hmm. until Spa, when things fell apart for Rosberg. This year...
No, but he, like, after Monaco, after that, the qualifying thing, he, up until Spa, up until they came together, because it was after Spa that Lewis just whitewashed it, but up until they had the accident, I would say that Nico had the psychological edge on Hamilton after that qualifying session, but that all went west.
Oh, well, I think so. And I have always thought that that wasn't a calculated move by Rosberg. I think.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you think he overcooked it?
I think he overcooked it and pulled off the track.
Oh, no, I he didn't. He didn't even try and turn.
If it had tried to turn, it'd probably gone into a spin and wiped the back of the car out.
He didn't even wreck his tyres. He didn't even lock his tyres up.
But you can recognise you've overcooked it without locking up and going into the wall.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he answered it. That's something Alonso would have done.
I don't think that was a calculated move, and I think that might be what gave him the mental advantage, was Lewis thinks I'm cheating, but I'm not.
Yeah, maybe.
But I've got inside his head.
Yeah.
And then Lewis got back and got inside Nico's head.
Then Lewis got out.
But the other reason that I can't see Rosberg winning a world title in a Mercedes is if the Mercedes isn't the best car on the grid, it won't have Lewis Hamilton driving it. And then Rosberg, I don't think, is capable of winning a world title in the second or third best car on the grid.
No.
When there will be better cars and equally good drivers.
I think the other thing to think about as well is I think that Toto Wolff must have, he's got an eye on the future, and they've already expressed interest in Verstappen. I think Toto Wolff will want to get his hands on Verstappen before Ferrari get their hands on Verstappen. Both Nico Rosberg's contract is up in 2016 and Kimi Raikkonen's. So I think if there is the chance of Verstappen going to Mercedes, I don't think Nico will have any choice in where he goes after next year.
You think he'll end up in Ferrari?
No, I don't know where he's going to end up, but I think Max Verstappen's going to end up in a Mercedes.
But he can't end up in Ferrari because he's got a Grosjean. He's going to take Kimi's seat at the end of next year. I think that seems like a good place to call it a day. We shall leave you with that thought. We'll be back next week with a preview of Austin and a fully working server again.
Steve Austin.
That's a stone cold guarantee.
Stunning.
Oh, no. And we are not doing a wrestling podcast. Three legs, four turnbuckles. Bearing in mind, I don't think I've not actually watched any wrestling since X-Pac was in it.
We're not talking about Formula One again, are we?
We're not. We're going to go and talk about something else now. Enjoy the rest of the week.
Bye.
See you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.